morning. Welcome to Wesley Memorial Church on this lovely sunny morning. And welcome to those of you who are watching from home as well. Welcome especially to anyone visiting for the first time. I should say, for the benefit of those who may not have seen this church before, that we are in a somewhat unusual configuration. We have a few things going on. We have a stage set up for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at the beginning of June. And we have art weeks taking place, which will see the church open and artwork on display during this week. Mary Lines would be very keen to hear from anyone who would like to offer that some time to come and help as a steward during that week, this week. And she has a rota which you can sign up to, so please do go and see her at coffee afterwards. I have a long note about the Christian Aid Street Market, which took place yesterday and did very well, taking so far nearly £1,100, which is excellent. There are leftover plants and cakes, which will be on sale after the service in tea and coffee through those doors over there, so we expect the total to rise. A big thank you to everyone who came and supported it, especially the volunteers who did a fantastic job. There's still also other opportunities to give to Christian Aid Week. Envelopes may still be handed in. If you have an envelope, put it in the offering basket over there or by the door. And the online giving page is still open. We'll let you know how much is raised in total at the end of all of that. For today's service, the Reverend Paul Carter was going to lead the service in person, but unfortunately has got COVID. So our prayers are with him for his quick recovery. But he has prepared a video sermon for us, and other people have come together to put the service together, and David Bull is going to lead the communion. So we're very grateful to David for that. And Kate will announce many of the points of the service. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Welcome, everybody. And our call to worship is our first hymn. It's 22 in Singing the Faith. Come, all you people, come and praise your Maker. We'll sing verse 1 in English, verse 2 in Shona, or in English if you prefer, and verse 3 again in English. Come, all you people. Prayer has been provided by Paul as part of his service. Let us pray. We gather this morning to worship, bringing all that we have and all that we are into this special place with all its years of tradition, the rock from which we are hewn, a place special to us. Whether we first walked through its doors decades ago or just this very morning, or indeed whether our link is through the medium of technology, we gather this morning to worship. We gather in a holy space beyond the height and breadth and depth of the physical place, beyond even time itself. We gather this morning to worship in a holy space. We gather this morning to worship, bringing all that we have and are, our thoughts and feelings, and we come to the God who loves us, who warms our hearts, the God who longs for us to draw close, the God who invites us to the table, who forgives us when we miss the mark, who accepts us when we find it hard to accept ourselves, who offers the breath of the Spirit to transform us into what humanity can be, into what we can be. And so we praise the Creator God, in whose image we are made, the God who inspires life and love. We praise the Creator God, God the artist, who offers creativity as a gift, wanting us to join in. We praise the Creator God we see in the risen and ascended Christ, the one who raises us up to the heights of heaven. We praise the Creator God we experience in the Spirit, the breath blown among us, the wind wild and free. All that we have and all that we are come from the Creator. In Christ we are known and loved. In the Spirit we are inspired. And so we gather this morning in this special place, or connected to this special place, and beyond the special place, our gathering is a holy space in which we worship the Holy God, three in one, and one in three. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As you've heard and hopefully noticed, our church has been set up for Art Weeks. And it's a great joy to share this special place with the members of the community that come in to look at the art. And the theme of the week is Special Places, Holy Spaces. And as I was thinking about this section of the service, I remembered back a couple of years when we were preparing, Junior Church and the rest of us, but we weren't able to be in this place. We were still at home worshipping together. And our junior church met on Zoom, and we were preparing for an all-age service for Pentecost. And so Junior Church helped me to make a video, and I thought it was really appropriate and that we should watch it again. And some of you kids will see yourselves, but a little bit younger. So it'll be interesting to see how you've changed. But anyway, so we're going to see a video that was made 2 years ago that based on the idea of us being able to worship God wherever we are. It's based on Psalm 139, so thanks to King David for that, but the junior church did add their own ideas as well. Let's pray. Where can we go from your spirit, Lord? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we make our beds in the depths, you are there. Your hand will guide us. You will hold us fast. You hem us in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon us. God is with us. All places can be holy because God is in all places. May we become aware of God's presence, feel our hearts warmed by his love, and in response, work together to shine God's light into the darkest places. Amen.
Thank you, Mel. And now we're going to sing Singing the Faith 726, Come to Us, Creative Spirit. as the children leave, we say to them, "The Lord be with you."
Our first reading comes from Isaiah 51, 1 to 3, and then 7 to 11. "Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all of her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of a song." Verse 7. "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people who have my teaching in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of others, and do not be dismayed when they revile you. For the moth will eat them like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my deliverance will be forever, and my salvation for all generations. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, with generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away."
And now we're going to sing again from Singing the Faith, number 726. I'm giving you the wrong number now. Number 208, "Let Earth and Heaven Combine." So, Singing the Faith, 208.
Thank you. New Testament reading from the second letter of Peter, starting at the first chapter, verse 1. Hear the word of God. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith as precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Thus he has given us through these things his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust, and may become participants in the divine nature. For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For anyone who lacks these things is short-sighted and blind, and is forgetful of the cleansing of past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to confirm your call and election, for if you do this, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Amen.
Let me tell you a little story from the days when I was an undergraduate student. The church I went to for much of the time I was an undergrad was, like this one, named after Wesley. Which Wesley was unspecified, but presumably John. Our group of students met each week after worship for discussion and lunch, and each year we took photos of the group. And we took three kinds of photo. A normal, sensible one. One which was neither normal nor sensible. I'm sure you've seen the kind of thing in student photographs. And the adoration of the Wesley. For the adoration of the Wesley, we nicked a small bust of John Wesley, which presumably normally lived somewhere on the premises. I can't remember where now. We placed him on the grass outside in front of us and adored him. This was definitely meant as a silly photo, but I remember always feeling a bit uncomfortable. Most people did exaggerated poses of adoration, but I think I usually, maybe always, simply looked away. I've always been a bit of a grump. In Protestant traditions, we did a good job of throwing out all the old saints' days, and then we put back in some new ones of our own instead. So we marked the year with chapel anniversaries and harvest festivals, and in the Methodist tradition, covenant services, maybe a watch night, and Aldersgate Sunday, which is today. My sense is that Aldersgate is now less observed than it used to be. Perhaps we are now a little bit embarrassed to focus so much on Wesley, especially in the days when a decent proportion of people in Methodist churches haven't grown up in the Methodist tradition. And it feels a bit odd to celebrate our founder or founders when surely we should be simply looking straight to Christ. Presumably that's what Wesley would have done, as we Methodists sometimes say without enough irony. Maybe now more of us turn our heads away from the adoration of the Wesley. But I thought I would take the opportunity of being planned to preach at Wesley Memorial Methodist Church, Oxford, on Aldersgate Sunday to at least hint at the theme, even though in the end I'm not actually with you physically because I'm laid up at home with COVID. So many thanks to the good folk at Wesley Memorial for stepping in and doing quite a bit of what until a few days ago I was expecting to do. Aldersgate Sunday looks back to an evening gathering on the 24th of May 1738 in Aldersgate Street in London, when John Wesley, once of this parish, more or less, had an experience, an encounter with God, when, as he put it, he felt his heart strangely warmed. It was the kind of experience his brother Charles had also recently had, and the brothers whose way of life got nicknamed Methodist in Oxford because they were so orderly in the way they lived their life of faith. The brothers suddenly found that knowing God was, as we might put it these days, a thing of the heart as well as of the head. If you like, feelings as well as thoughts. Looking back to the origins of Methodism on Aldersgate Sunday might encourage us to think of the church as a kind of family tree. We split off from the Church of England, much as the Church of England had split from Roman Catholicism, much as Catholicism and Orthodoxy had gone their separate ways earlier. Then Methodism too splintered, but the fact that many of those splinters ended up back together again 100 years ago shows that the family tree image of church is a bit too simplistic. There are always little influences here and there that mix things up. You may have wondered why we've sung a hymn this morning, which is more often thought of as a Christmas hymn, because it speaks of the Incarnation. Charles Wesley's Let Earth and Heaven Combine is probably not the best known of his hymns, but I rather suspect it deserves to be. Its most startling line to our ears shows one of those little influences, this time of early Greek theology on the Wesleys, a kind of thinking which hasn't been as prominent since in our Western traditions as it has in Eastern Orthodox Christianity. To bring our vileness near, Wesley says, and make us all divine. Hang on. Make us all divine? That idea of becoming part of the divine, or as it's expressed in 2 Peter chapter 1, becoming participants in the divine nature, is a startling thing. The Wesleys had not only become open to their own experiencing of faith as well as their thinking, their reasoning about it, but they were open to other people's reasoning about faith and experiences of faith. Methodism has never thought of itself as the whole church, as some groups effectively have. We are part of something bigger. There is a wide range of thinking and experience. God becomes human, as that hymn of incarnation reminds us, and that means the human can, to put it in its strongest form, become divine. We can participate in the divine nature. Our art, for example, our creativity, blended with God's creativity. The risen Christ, the pioneer of humanity, the one who shows us what humanity can be, the risen Christ is also the ascended Christ. Humanity is raised into the heart of God. Ascension Day, this Thursday just passed, may be another Christian festival we easily skip over these days, perhaps out of embarrassment at very literal artworks with feet in the clouds and so on. But it has an important message. Art, you see, is more than illustration. Art is more than illustration. It's not feet in the clouds. but the deeper meaning that matters. In the risen and ascended Christ, humanity is raised into the heart of God. I think Methodism was lucky to hit a sweet spot in history. Not just the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution, which changed this country radically and required a new way of being church, but a shift in ways of thinking too. The Enlightenment was shading towards the Romantic movement. A tendency to think of God as distant was being balanced by individual experience and feeling. Open to reason and experience. And open to a whole rainbow blend of reason and experience of faith. That's where I hope this movement has got us, getting on for 300 years later. And at its best, it is still a movement, because tradition is not the same thing as conservation. We move. Traditions develop and grow from their roots. Art moves on over the years. So we don't have to obsess about what would Wesley do. But, as part of the wider tradition of the Church, the Wesleys are, in a small way, the rock from which we are hewn, the quarry from which we are dug, as Isaiah puts it in talking about the tradition of Abraham and Sarah. We've always loved looking at maps. Our son, when he was small, when we were on holiday, would sometimes navigate part of our journey looking at maps of unfamiliar places. He would delight in taking us down narrow, winding roads, and he kept finding disused quarries marked on the map. It's become a bit of a family in-joke. There's always a disused quarry somewhere on an OS map, or so it seems. Our traditions move on. Our art is different these days. But the rock from which we are hewn, the quarry from which we are dug, is still there. We are still using the quarries. These special places can still be holy spaces for us. But maybe let's stop carving busts of John Wesley, eh?
We're going now to share in a time of prayer for the world. And I will leave spaces here and there for you to think your thoughts, pray your prayers before we move on. Let us pray. Loving Creator God, we come as your children, aware that Jesus called us to follow him and warned us to be prepared to bear the cost of discipleship. Because so often greed and power trump justice and peace, we pray for our discipleship and for your children throughout the world. We pray that solutions may be found to nations' problems that comprehend the needs of the environment and the wants of people, and that don't balance budgets by ignoring the most basic needs of the poorest. For just, peaceful, and ecological ways forward, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this congregation and our neighbourhoods, for those who are suffering because of the cost of living, for those seeking work, those awaiting results of tests, an operation, those mourning a loss. For the comfort and reassurance of your spirit, perhaps through a word or a touch from us, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. At this time, we pray especially for our fellow human beings whose desperation leads them to the sea, to undertake perilous voyages, or to follow dangerous journeys over land. Those escaping brutal wars, fleeing religious persecution, drought, famine, economic ruin. For all those looking for hope in a hopeless situation, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May we not ask, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and wouldn't help you? May we look beyond our own fears and concerns to the needs of those who have nothing, who risk everything and depend absolutely on the kindness of strangers. May our hearts be opened, our leaders challenged, and our self-interest be overcome. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And if we can be part of the answer to any of our concerns, Lord, show us how, and strengthen and enable us to do something. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus stood among his friends. Peace be with you, he said, and I say to you, the peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a sign of peace with one another. Peace with you, darling. As God's children, at peace with one another, I'm going to invite you in a few moments after the next hymn to share bread and wine together, to celebrate Jesus' presence within and among us. The bread is gluten-free. The wine is simply grape juice. We shall serve the choir very first, and then the congregation. And you're invited, please, to come down to the front in two lines and to receive bread from one or other of us and wine, and leave your empty glass behind, and then return that way round to your seats. So you'll be invited by a steward to come forward, receive bread, receive wine, leave your glass, and go back to your places. That's the idea. We're going to sing a communion hymn which Paul chose, Come Holy Ghost, Your Influence Shed. It's 579 in Singing the Faith.
Holy Ghost,
You please be seated. Come. Thank you. This bread came from grains that were scattered. The wine was pressed from grapes. May we too come together to serve our Lord. Amen. So the table is prepared, and I invite you to share. This is not my table. It's not the church's table. It is the Lord's table, and it's ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come if you have much faith or if you have little. If you've been here often, if you've not been for a long time, if you've tried to follow Jesus and if you've failed, come, share. Not because I invite you, it's the Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. This meal is to remind us that Jesus died and rose from death that we might be free to share in God's everlasting love. Eating bread reminds us of the bread that Jesus ate in the upper room with his disciples. Broken, it's a sign of Jesus' suffering, and we share, and Jesus makes us whole. We drink wine together to remind us of the wine that Jesus drank in the upper room with his disciples. Poured out, it shows how Jesus gave his life for us. Drinking together shows our oneness in Jesus. We drink, and Jesus makes us glad. This is how the sacrament began. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. And while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, he said a blessing, he broke it, and he gave it to them with the words, "This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And later on, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, ordinary things of this world, which Christ will make special. I invite you to stand for the Thanksgiving prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done, for all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We're not fit to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you offer mercy and have the power to change us. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us your body, healing, forgiving, and making whole. And that we may become for you your body, loving and caring in the world, until your kingdom comes. Amen. Among friends gathered round a table, Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body and it's given for you." Look, here is our Lord coming to us in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Will you please be seated? Now you'll be coming this way and going that way. I invite the choir to come forward. I invite the communion stewards to join me. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you, John.
Blood of Christ.
Tanya, the body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you always in his care. Amen.
Thank you.
Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us, shake us, remake us. What we have been is no longer important. What matters now is what with you we can be, starting now. Amen. Our closing hymn is Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise, number 300 in Singing the Faith.
Thank you.
be born in us today. Make us light for the world. Let each of us be a gift to every other until, defenseless like children in others' hands, we learn the power of love to change the world. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be with us all and all whom we love and all whom we pray for this day and forevermore. Amen.
Testing for Kate.
I love this stained glass window with the lilies.